You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
I know we have multiple podcast dogs. It's a dog-filled room, which is filled with love. More love, more dogs.
More love, more dogs. Podcast Pug, I'm Betty. And we have Lady Bird Drezin joining us.
Mm-hmm. She's a podcast Chihuahua mix.
Chihuahua Jack Russell mix, I think. Mm-hmm. And her mother, Anna Drezin, is joining us today. We're very happy to have
fabulous
her.
Fabulous comedian, right?
I think you said chlamydia. I was like proud to say no.
No, chlamydia. I had that once in college, actually.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's really no big deal. I just drank a little tea and it went away.
A boy that I did not sleep with told me that I gave him chlamydia after he slept with a sex worker with no protection while abroad, and that was his first time ever having sex, but he told me that I gave it to him and I believed him. And then I went to the NYU Health Center and was like, I have chlamydia. And then they were like, okay, well, we'll take your info. How many sex partners? And I said zero. And they were like, oh, you're dumb. And I was like, I would like the antibiotics, please. And they gave them to me and I got so sick.
You're like, you don't understand. I have chlamydia.
I really love antibiotics.
I gave it to myself with my mind.
Yeah, and I get that.
Like 3 days later, they called me and were like, you don't have chlamydia. And I was like, thank God, I have already sobbed to both my parents.
When I was a kid, I always wanted ailments.
Oh, yeah.
I always wanted to like break a limb or like.
Oh, I wanted a hot pink cast. I wanted hot pink braces and to one day drive a hot pink convertible.
Oh, my God. While injured.
Yes, while injured. While going through a lot. Like while a lot happened to me personally. But I just want to be like, but look, I got a convertie.
Straight to the hospital. Yeah, I used my mom's canes for a while as crutches because I was convinced that I had sprained my ankle. But my mom had canes from when she had her leg almost severed at the hip in a car accident that required the jaws of life.
Wait, wasn't that on her wedding day?
No, it was before my. It was when my parents were dating, but not yet engaged.
Yeah.
Ugh. You got to marry her.
You got to get that married.
You did.
I used to pretend hospital, and I would take toilet paper and then wrapped like regular tape, like scotch tape around it to make a strong cast. And I made it so strong on my friend's arm that her mom couldn't get it off and she had to use the scissors to cut it and kept accidentally cutting her daughter's arm. And that mom hated me for the rest of existence. Like she hated me so much.
Reason.
Yeah. And in her house, I also painted her daughter's face to look like a skunk. And I really committed because I was like, we are going to pretend pretend we're animals. You're a skunk.
You're such an older sister.
I am. And I painted full black on both sides of her cheek, full white down the middle, but nothing else was skunk-like. I didn't, like, make a costume. I just painted her face. And then I got black shit all over their bathroom. That mother hated me so much, but I was a neighbor, so I always came over.
Did you paint your face?
No, I was the director.
Oh my God, you're heinous.
I'm such an
older sister.
Oh my God. It was a great skit, except we got interrupted. We got interrupted and I had to go home.
What was the skit?
We were going to be
Tell us about
skunks.
The skit.
We were going to be skunks and we were probably running away from another skunk. I mean, it was just very simple, running skunks.
Cool. Yeah,
what was the game?
Running skunks. That was it.
I have notes.
Fine.
I think it's great.
I love it. Speaking of things I love, Anna Dresden.
Hi.
Hi. And You're doing a very exciting scammer today.
I am. Should I do the small personal scam first or the second?
I want the big kahuna.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do the big kahuna.
The big one because I don't... Oh, kahuna. Guys, I don't know anything. Because I don't know about the scam.
Oh, it's
so
good.
So you're going to be...
I am also new to the scam. I just became obsessed with the tropes associated with the scam.
Okay.
Such as confident men, women in like the 70s, 80s who speak in a high whisper.
Yes.
Who believe everything.
Yes.
And like the idea that before there was modern technology, and if you were a white man in America, you could just say whatever.
You could say whatever.
It's like, without even getting into the like progressive politics of it, like, I think it's very funny how
easy
just the things you would say. But my scam is,
was this in the 70s?
This was, oh God, it was like
in the 80s,
early 90s. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is Clark Rockefeller.
Yes. He's so good.
So Clark Rockefeller was born, hold on, Christian Carl Gertzreiter. Gerhardt.
Yeah.
He was born February 21st, 1961. And he moved to the U.S. when he was a teenager and sort of, I guess, was picked up.
From where?
From Germany.
Okay.
He's a German.
Well, that explains it.
He's a German national. I know. It's kind of like cool. But he moved here. And I think I watched an Investigation Discovery, but while also playing solitaire on my phone because I.
You got to do a lot of things.
Yeah, we have to. We all do.
Psychologically, I'm a baby. So, but I believe that he was picked up by this couple. He was just on the side of the road and they were like, well, we cannot take him in. And then he
didn't he live with them?
He lived with them and like went by a series of aliases
while living with them.
I think when he was there, hold on.
He lived with them for a long time. Like they just picked him up.
Yeah, he met the couple in 1978. Oh, they were traveling through Germany. And right. then he used their names to get permission to enter the U.S.
So he went back with them to the
without
U.S.?
Without permission.
Without them
he
knowing.
He said that they had invited him to stay with them in California. I'm now just shamelessly reading the Wikipedia page, which I think is actually cool. So he started in Connecticut, where he found this family who let him live with them. And in 79...
So a second family.
Yeah. So the ID discovery, the investigation discovery coverage of this is incredible. I watched the Dateline coverage of it and it was trash and I don't recommend it. It just focused on the lives that were lost and the beautiful people they were. And I was like, no, that's not why I came here.
Tell me about the scam.
There were like almost no facts about him. And then I watched the ID coverage of him and it's perfect. And they have interviews with this couple's son. And the way that ID does talking head stuff for this particular series is that they're standing and it's like from the hips up and they're talking to camera.
That's so weird.
And this guy was already, I think, an actor, but he's like talking to camera about like how he just acted insane in his family's home. And like his, they said that the last straw was when their daughter was waiting outside in the snow to be let in because she forgot her key. And Clark was, or whatever his name is, was like on the couch and wasn't doing anything and didn't get up to let her in for 45 minutes until someone else came home and let her in.
Amazing.
And they were like, you have to go. So that is the quality of character we're dealing with.
Okay.
So they told him to leave, and he wanted to become an actor. And there's amazing footage of him like in prison clothes. And he asks Natalie Morales. There's a Natalie Morales interview with him. That's
perfect.
Douche chills up and down. But he says, do you want to hear Scottish poetry? And she was like, yeah. And then he does this like, I guess, OK, Scottish accent while like performing this poem to her. And she's just like, her ODS coverage was just like,
oh my God.
Wow. He's just a fucking, he's a cuckoo bird. So he was living, I'll just speed it up. So he like eventually gets to California and is living in the guest house of this woman who's like a saddled woman named Dee Dee, which I think is great. And she was an alcoholic who would slur a lot, according to the people in this investigation discovery coverage. But so this married couple wanted to take the house, like their mother's guest house, but I guess
So Dee Dee's the mom of this couple.
Is the mom of this couple, and I guess like he just wormed his way into her ear with like, no, I'm cool and good, and like she just believed everything that he told her. And she was her like
companion probably.
Well, yeah, well, he was like hired to take care, like her caretaker, quote unquote, but I don't know how much he was actually doing.
Yeah.
So like he eventually her son and his wife like bought this car and they went on this like road trip, and then they were planning to, they're just planning all this stuff and like we're cute newlyweds. And then they, Clark told that his mother that, oh, they said that they're going to Paris because they have a secret job interview with the CIA was another excuse.
What?
I think these were two separate excuses, but they sort of overlapped. It was like they have a secret job interview, so that's why they're there. And Dee Dee was just like, yep. And like the police,
and you know exactly these what people, kind of person Dee Dee is.
She's like, they're in Paris, honey. this is in San Marino, California. So there, her family tries to file a missing persons report of the couple, and then the police go to talk to Dee Dee because she lives there, and she just keeps telling them like, nah, she's in Paris.
Oh, Dee Dee.
And then I think
they were planning a trip. Did they die on the trip?
No. So a couple years later, the house Dee Dee dies. Very sad. He was married at some point. And then
I'm confused. Okay, so I watched, I think, either an HBO or a Netflix documentary on this. And so he goes from Germany to like Connecticut, and then he goes to California and changes his name to Clark Rockefeller, right?
No, this is, no, in California, he's Christopher Chichester.
Oh, Chichester.
So he's going to USC as a film student, or maybe he isn't, but he's going there.
Yeah.
And he tells him that he's a Christopher Chichester, 13th Baronet.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone just goes, all okay. Right.
What is a 13th baronet?
Exactly. And none of them knew. And it was just like,
I thought it was a singing position, like a baritone.
No.
Oh, a baronet is like a small baron.
Like a baron. Baronet. Baby no, like baron. A little,
I think it's like a baron who's under 5'5" is a baronet.
It's a mini baron.
Yeah.
What? Is that a royalty? I really don't know what a baron is.
I think it's a royal.
It's like, so he was claiming to be British, so he put on a British accent.
Oh.
And
but he's German.
Right.
He's
right,
German. Right. Yeah, but he came here when he's a teenager, so he can like kind of drop the accent quickly. Lady Bird is staring at me and whining with one of her back legs up in the air, so I can just see her dog Poonan is just full on facing me.
Aww.
Oh, both feet are up.
There's a lot happening.
She's truly doing like a like an old timey porn of a woman just like spreading her legs at camera. Spelling. Like that's what she's doing to me right now.
Sorry, I have to rewind. I'm so confused. So
there's a lot of moving parts.
There's a lot.
So wait, so this couple, I'm like obsessed with this couple. They're happily married and they are going on a newlywed trip. He tells Dee they're going to Paris.
They're already gone and they've been gone for a long time.
How long was their trip?
They were missing for like weeks or months. I'm not sure. But so they didn't go on a trip, Caitlin. They were murdered.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Okay.
They didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
So like, this happened in 1985.
So they were planning a trip, but then it never happened.
I don't know if they did or not.
They
like bought a truck, and then at some point he ends up in Connecticut driving their truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So somehow, like, after the murder, he goes back to the East Coast and changes his identity again, right?
Yeah. So in the late 1980s, he goes to the East Coast. The police pull him over in Connecticut. He was driving a pickup truck that belonged to Jonathan Soas. But he left the area before police could interview him. It's like, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
To just walk away.
Like, imagine if you were pulled over driving a Lady Bird. I
Lady Bird.
So it's okay, Lady Bird.
I'm going to pick her up.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
She's so Hi. Cute.
But so he gets pulled over with this dead man's truck. And then in 1994, they just like didn't have any proof that they were dead because there were no bodies. And they didn't
really hunt for them, I guess.
Yeah, they like didn't have any evidence to arrest him. And then in 1994, they find Jonathan Soas's body in the backyard that's chopped up and put into bags. And one of the bags is University of Milwaukee, and the other one is USC, which are the two places that this dude went to.
Didn't they have to excavate a bunch of shit too?
What? They excavated the entire yard looking for her at the house where he used to live.
The grandma?
Dee's house.
Dee's house.
Okay. Yeah.
Dee's son is Jonathan. His wife, whose name I should say, I guess.
Was it Jonathan and the wife that got killed, or just Jonathan? Okay.
So, but they only found Jonathan's body. The wife, they're like, maybe she's still out there. And it's like, she's fucking.
No, she's dead somewhere. No,
she's not. I promise you she's not.
No, that just gave me chills.
Yeah. Lady Bird's it. But.
Lady Bird has chills.
Oh, but he was adopted. So there's no way to compare his DNA.
Who's
it's
adopted?
A whole deal. Jonathan was. Whatever. That's a dead end. But so he moves to Connecticut. And now he's being called Christopher C. Crow, which is so obnoxious. And he says that he was a television producer from Los Angeles who worked in the 1980s remake of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. He also was telling everyone that his grandmother was a famous actress. And he would also tell people that he was an orphan and that, but he hasn't yet called himself a Rockefeller. So he gets hired on Wall Street. And when they ask for a social security number in the late 80s, early 90s, which is like, sure. And they asked for a social security number, and he gave them David Berkowitz's social security number, aka Son of Sam.
No.
David Berkowitz is Son of Sam.
Yeah. David Berkowitz, Son of Sam. On his hiring paperwork, he just was so confident that no one would call him out of his bullshit. But it's like, you're on Wall Street. You're not just like hanging around Southern California telling people that like you are
a student
interesting or famous or like
that's so crazy
a baronet.
But how do you so he's memorized a serial killer.
I don't know how he found it.
Yeah,
that's so crazy, because like when you fill out paperwork for a job, you put down your social security number. They run that to see if you're a criminal.
So he got fired from this first firm
because of that.
Yeah. And then he was employed somewhere else and was fired unknown why. And he was hired somewhere else and then he quit once he figured out that the police was looking for him. So it's like, you just go to Wall Street and you're like, hi, I own a suit.
I know.
I'm white.
He also at this point was wearing tinted aviator glasses all the time.
Of course.
Where it's like that beautiful late 80s, early 90s. Are they glasses? Are they sunglasses? They're both. They're neither.
Right.
Yeah.
They go inside, they go outside.
They're just very tan.
Transitions.
Yeah.
It looks like it's part of your own tan skin. It's just like a wash.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's part of its own tan skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he, so like the couple, this was still when he was in Connecticut on ID, this guy who was the brother of the family that like picked him up. He would ask us to take pictures of him all the time, and he would like lean on his hand and like get in a very specific pose and like adjust his angles and then say, take it. So there's a ton of pictures of him with like his index finger lightly resting on his temple while he's like leaning sideways.
Take it.
Wow.
Every time I get my photo taken, I'm just going to do that.
Take it. Hold on.
Hold on. Okay. Take it.
Take it.
Take it.
Can you take a picture of us? Take it.
Take it.
And make the most awkward pose.
Sit in the snow. Take it.
Take it. Which I just love. I really love men with no humor who are obsessed with themselves.
Oh my God.
I think it's really funny.
And because you.
White men.
What?
This is a very specific man because they get away with everything.
With everything.
They just really tell people, like, he has had a million girlfriends and, like, the basically confidence. Just gets a free ride.
Yeah.
And did ID at all talk about anything about him in Germany when he was a kid? Is there any study on that?
No, it's all when he comes to
the
U.S.
There's like not a ton of information.
That's so crazy. Is that for him to be like, you know what, I'm going to get at, like, that is a sociopath.
He wanted to go to L.A. and be a big movie star, and like he was obsessed with Hollywood as a child.
I mean.
Did he have like an Asperger's, autism, like did he have any sort of learning disability?
He seems very Asperger's-y, I will say. Although he knows people too well, but just the way that he, I feel like he's like doing an impression
awkward.
Of a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the impression that I get from him.
Take it.
Take it. Hey, take it.
Hey.
So he just like tells all these little white lies to people, and then he moves to New York and really lets it rip. So he marries this woman whose name literally... at this point, he's Clark Rockefeller. And in 1995, he marries a woman whose name is Sandra Boss.
Yeah, she is Sandra Boss.
A high earning exec, I believe, on Wall Street. Graduate of Harvard Business School. It had no legal status. They married in a Quaker ceremony. Later they ask him, did you murder this person? He goes, I'm a Quaker, which is very funny.
Oh, wow. So he was on Wall Street in New York, but was he wasn't a Rockefeller yet.
He was
yet.
Still Chris Crow.
At this point, he's Clark Rockefeller.
Okay, when he works
on Wall
Street?
When he comes back to, yes.
He was like, I'm going to work on Wall Street. I have to be a Rockefeller.
Right, and then yeah. I guess if you're Rockefeller on Wall Street, they're like, okay.
Oh, no, sure. He abandoned the Christopher Crow persona.
When they, ran
they
the
found out about
that's what
him.
I'm okay, so
he started using the name Clark Rockefeller, still living in New York.
Oh right, gosh. But after he got busted in Wall Street. Just getting this timeline.
Yeah, there's a lot. To unpack.
I don't know why I'm obsessed, but I'm obsessed with it.
Okay. He did a lot of crime.
Mm-hmm. So
so we know he's already killed two people.
She makes $1.4 million a year.
Sandra Boss
makes $1.4 million a year, yes. Which I don't believe is adjusted for inflation. She's like, and hearing her on the stand and stuff, she's so intelligent and like.
Is she alive?
She's alive. Yeah. She's fine.
She's good.
So the reason.
I need somebody to be alive in this.
So he didn't let his wife know who his identity was. He would say that he was like a distant relation of the Rockefellers and like not really explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And people would just believe it. And he had all these like socialite friends. And this woman showed text messages from him. I guess this is like late 90s, early 2000s. And it was, I'm on a submarine. It's so strange. Very crowded. Thought of you.
Wow.
It's just that kind of shit where it's like, I'm on a submarine. And he's like on a couch somewhere.
Yeah. Who texts on a submarine?
Who does that?
They didn't have Wi-Fi that good back then.
No, I'm on a submarine. What a
That's
lie
insane.
To make up.
So basically, they have one daughter. They lived in New Hampshire, where he was basically just really dining out on this Rockefeller persona. And like,
did he get money or free things from being a Rockefeller? Did he like?
Yes.
Get,
so okay. He just like from people, he would get like free dinners and like
because they assumed he was rich.
He was living off his wife, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he would say it's like family money, but. And the Rockefeller name, he would tell people that he was a wealthy Yale graduate who owned a business in Canada. He was also a member of the Boston's Algonquin Club.
Oh.
Like he was just joining these like
Algonquin
society
club?
Clubs. It's like the Yale Club or like mm-hmm, mm-hmm. any other like country
white guy.
Club. Yeah.
Yuppie club.
Where you like get free nice food and can hang out and like have access to people who are rich. He had like art director friends. There was stuff about him claiming to have like a Rothko and a Mondrian and like... All these art dealers okay. were like, oh my God, you have this art? We're definitely friends with you. And he's a Rockefeller. And it was just like all these people who were so...
So in love with the whole
so
idea.
So thirsty to get close to
a
Rockefeller,
lie.
But like with zero proof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or follow through.
So Sandra Boss is a boss and she divorced him eventually when she couldn't figure out who the fuck he was.
And, you know what? I'll divorce him.
And she changed her daughter's last name because I guess it was Rockefeller, which is very funny.
Oh,
and then girl. He kidnapped his daughter and she's fine.
Where did he take her?
He had her for a week. They found her in Baltimore, Maryland,
ugh.
Where he had bought an apartment under the name Chip Smith.
Sounds like
he just keeps getting these waspy ass names and people are like, yes, here's a house.
Oof.
And then FBI got some tip. And the kid's fine. But then so he goes to jail for a couple years for this. And then eventually they hearing blah, blah, blah. Who cares? So his attorneys were like, he's fucking crazy. Look at him.
Right.
He doesn't know what's real or not.
And that's how he gets off.
No, he doesn't. He goes to jail.
Okay. But only for 4 years.
So he's in jail. He's sentenced for a couple years. 4 to 5 years on the kidnapping and concurrent 2 to 3 years on the assault charge. I guess he...
assaulted his ex-wife.
But that's not very much.
No. It's not. It is. I'm like, listen, if more people knew the small price you had to pay for these like insane crimes, I think they'd do more of them. Yeah. It's like treat yourself, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, go crazy. And you get so much time for marijuana possession.
Yeah.
So that's a whole thing. Don't even get me started with jail.
Jail is bad.
Yeah, but it's like, you know.
What is this?
Lifetime I'm aware movie. Of it.
Who is Clark Rockefeller on
There's
Lifetime?
A Lifetime movie?
Yes, there are several.
Well, Will. Sorry, who?
From Will and Grace?
Oh.
Will from Will and Grace.
He's very sexual, and that is not a good casting. I mean, like, I guess you have to make it, you got to make it sexy for the viewing audience, but that is not what that man looked like.
Yeah.
He looked like sort of like a statue with dyed blonde hair.
Yeah.
With like a long note. I guess like people were like, well, he has the Rockefeller features.
Love. That guy?
Like, so many
very,
people.
Very waspy.
So he's convicted on mostly circumstantial evidence, but the thing that swayed the jury, so he's brought to trial when he's still in jail for kidnapping his daughter. The thing that swayed the jurors were the fact that the book bags had the person's body in it were the two places that he went to school.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wait, just so like, he got convicted of that?
Yeah, and his attorneys were like, he wouldn't have done that. He's such a brilliant con man. You really think that he would have done it if that was like...
That's not great.
You're a lawyer.
Yeah, yes, that's not
bitch.
Great.
What are you talking about?
He did it.
Literally, what are you talking about? That's the craziest. It's like, mm-hmm. It's so obvious. There's no way it could have been him because he's so smart. And it's like, is he?
Smart people kill people all the time.
He gave David Berkowitz's social security number to Wall Street.
At that point, you're just fucking with
people. He thought they weren't going to check.
Yeah.
That was like his smart little thing. Yeah.
That's
that
his ego. His ego's out of control.
Yeah.
And he actually is so ignorant that he doesn't know how a business works.
It's exactly ego. It's like, it's ego. I want to be this famous person. Literally all he wanted to be was important and beloved
and
by
famous.
People and just like have other people do the work. Like, I still think about like him on the couch not letting that girl into her own house when it's like not his house. It's just
right.
Oh, you just don't want to lift a finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to be famous so badly. And then he also believes that, like, he should just be given whatever he wants. And then if he doesn't get it, he will murder somebody.
But for the most part, he was.
I know. But what I don't understand is, like, then, I mean, I see his lawyer being like, he's so smart. But, like, what is his need to murder? Like, Dee was, or Day or whatever.
Dee Dee.
Was, you know, he was in her ear, fine. But if I feel like he could have just been a drifter and gone someplace else and done it again. Was he... Really? Was it also the ego thing that he wanted to be the only one in her ear, so he had to get rid of those guys?
The murder seems like an anomaly, but I think it was because he wanted to keep the house and they wanted to sell it or something.
Yeah, it was like they wanted to be able to sell them. Yeah, well, it was like they also wanted to live in the guest house because they were like, it's my mother's house.
Right.
Why am I living in the house with her in a guest room and not?
He tried to put his name on her will and tried to get her money and all that shit. But what I don't understand is like, well, he didn't think this through. Once you murder somebody, you can't really hang out.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
No. Yeah, you gotta go.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content.
And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So that is probably the most odd thing, though.
That is. Like, the rest is the just, murder. Like, casual.
And did he murder anybody else? Were there any other charges?
No, because they never found the body for...
the woman?
Yeah.
But were there any other couples? There was nobody else, like, in his life?
No.
It was just those two.
It's literally just scams.
But that is so bizarre.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah, and they were like, well, he doesn't have a motive. And they tried to say that John's wife was the one who killed him because she was so large.
Because
she was... 5 inches taller than him or something, and they were like, well,
she's a big woman, she must have killed him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Ugh, I'm trying to find this fucking discovery.
Is he still in jail for the murder?
Is he alive?
He got 27 to life.
Oh, thank God. We don't have to worry about interacting with him.
Yeah, no.
Though he could be anyone.
He away.
He could be anyone.
What the fuck is this?
But, like, that is, like, where it's very much, like, a mental health issue, too. Like, this is a very...
Sure, it's a mental health...
But you're a crazy person.
Yeah, of course. But that doesn't mean that, like... That doesn't excuse it.
Oh, no, it doesn't at all. But I'm just thinking of, like, there's cons and there's this. But this seems, like, so psychotic.
Yeah.
I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, as far as cons go, because we've talked a lot about cons. We've talked about people. I've done my own conning. And you just, like, you want to get something.
It's not a casual con.
No. And not, like, multiple casual cons. I kind of got, like, wrapped up into it. This was, like, psychotic.
Psychotic.
Cons.
Psychotic.
And murder, which I do not like.
I know. You don't like murder.
I can't handle murder.
You don't like murder?
I cannot handle murder. I am so deeply afraid of all of that stuff.
This is
I don't like scary movies. I know. It's just one murder. And it's going to be hopefully our only murder. I really have an issue with murder because I can't stop thinking about it.
No. I know. But, like, then, yeah. But.
Yeah.
He's fascinating, this guy.
He's fascinating. It's that ego and that, like, well, so it is that combination of that, like, white man privilege of I can walk into any place and get what I want, but then also to be so threatened to not get what you want to then murder somebody.
But then to give David Berkowitz's social security number,
it's the craziest thing.
That is insane.
That is when it is very psychotic.
Like, you give so little fucks.
No, I think he thinks they're not going to check. Like, I don't even know if it's a little fucks. It's, like, just ignorance. Like, he doesn't know how things work. He's like, oh, I guess I just have to put this form here. Like, it might be that, too. Also, to steal your child, he doesn't understand how, like, parenting works. Like,
I think he's smart.
I think he's
very smart. Yeah, I don't think he's dumb. What do you think?
I think he has great wants and little conscience.
Yeah.
And confidence. And I think that that's potent. I'm not ready to assign him intelligence.
You don't think he's smart?
I don't know that that's why he was able to do everything.
Yeah.
I think he...
Right, because some Connors are incredibly smart, and they're also people pleasers and manipulators. And
I think he's manipulative.
Yeah.
I think, like, if he were smart, he would have figured out a less...
Well, more about Wall Street, way. For sure.
That, and also, yeah, like, he thought they weren't going to check. Like, this is not SoCal.
Well, it doesn't seem like he's ever had a job or worked in an office. Like, it wasn't like he didn't know probably about HR. If he just sort of jumped couches.
I think he's so delusional that, he just wants things very badly, and that he doesn't feel bad about.
Right, and that like, is where
he doesn't have character,
or you don't have empathy, or any self-reflection or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or self-awareness, really.
Yeah. So I think, and he really, they asked him, so did you murder them? And he says, I have always been a pacifist. I am a Quaker. And to my knowledge, I have never caused hurt to anyone.
What?
And it's like, that's so okay, creepy. You could say that.
Say no or yes.
Like, if you were smart, you would say, absolutely, categorically, I deny these charges. I did not kill them. There's no evidence linking me to them. This is a sham. But what he said was sort of a cutesy, crafty, sort of like a riddle way to say, like, no, I didn't. And it's like, I could see him saying that. And he's like, I didn't cause them hurt because I bashed his fucking head in right away. He wouldn't have felt it.
Right,
he was dead
immediately. Shot him in the face. Yeah.
It's like he wants to get caught. You know, he wants to be, like, known for his crime.
He wants to be, he wants attention. Yeah. He wants people to give him attention.
He wants to be interesting. Yeah. And I think, like, murdering someone is interesting. Yeah.
He wants
to be
really
about being famous.
Literally, like, being interviewed by Natalie Morales about a murder and asked her, do you want to hear Scottish poetry?
Oh, my gosh. Like, it's
But then,
like,
also him,
like, an audition, yeah.
But him being in a Lifetime movie, like, he wants that.
That's what he wants.
To have his life story be in a Lifetime movie is, like, exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't know. I think, like...
I hate that.
That we are giving him attention?
Well, I think the Lifetime movie... I guess it's that we're giving him attention while he's alive. Like, he's getting what he wants. Like, he really wants to be a famous person. He really wants to be well-known.
But...
And he's getting a miniseries about his life.
But under who... We don't know who he is. You know, under what... So many aliases.
I also don't think someone bad getting what they want is... equivalent to harm, you know, like whether or not he wants it, I think is it doesn't affect the fact that he's going to be in jail for the rest of his life, and whether or not he's happy inside his little heart is like, I don't know that that affects anything.
Yeah.
Aside from like the greater justice factor of like, he should be sad because he did bad things.
No, not sad. I think it's just like he has. I'm not upset about it. I'm just saying he has achieved what he wanted. Like, he wanted to be famous.
But he also wanted to be comfortable. And I don't think he's comfortable in jail.
Mm. No, jail's horrific.
Yeah.
But he murdered somebody. I don't know.
It did seem like he wanted to be rich.
He wants to be rich. He wants to be known.
Like, him not getting off that fucking couch is like...
Yeah.
You got to get off the couch in jail.
Yeah. You got to get off
the
couch.
There's no couch.
In life. Yeah.
You got to.
Life. There's plenty of people I know don't get off the couch.
And you know what? You're looking at one.
Same.
Last night, I was text venting to a friend, and Lady Bird was whining next to me for like a half hour. And I turned to her and said, you can't spend your whole life whining. And then I realized, like, oh, God, it me.
It me, Birdie.
So basically, get off the couch.
Get off the couch. Yeah. Metaphor for life, you know?
And that's the story of Clark Rockefeller. Also, he made friends with this man in San Marino, California, who's Jan of Sweden, who's known as the Swedish cowboy.
Oh.
And he is...
Everybody needs friends, even the Swedish cowboy.
A kook and a half. He looks like Santa Claus. I'm going to try to find...
Good.
I feel like this Clark Rockefeller could be on any one of a number of Bravo TV shows. Like The Housewives, Southern Charm, any of these. What is this?
What is this?
This is Swedish cowboy.
Wait, is
I don't know if this is in Swedish or not.
Oh my God.
So we're watching right now.
Oh yeah, it is.
We're watching
in Swedish.
A YouTube video of a cowboy looking like he's in a Western, and it's Swedish and playing music.
But they did interviews with him.
You just Googled, like, Jan of Sweden.
He was Clark Rockefeller's barber for a long time, and they interview him for the story, also from the hips up, standing, looking at camera, and he goes, yeah, one day Christopher comes in. He says, oh, I cannot come back. And I said, why? He said, I don't know. I said, well, when will I see you again? He said, he was like, oh, he said he inherits some big sum of money in England. He has to go there, and it's so much money that he never come back. I said, when will I see you? He said, never. It's so much money. And I said, okay. And his Chiron is Jan of Sweden. And then his, for job title, where they put the job title is Swedish cowboy.
Cowboy/barber.
It just said Swedish cowboy, which is as if that's like a known
thing.
But he says that he's the only Swedish cowboy.
That's what he asked for. You know, his like lower.
He's
like,
you know that he went absolutely apeshit where they were like, no, but like, can we put like barber? And he was
I am a Swedish cowboy.
I've been very clear with you. My job title will be Swedish cowboy or I walk.
I'm the Swedish cowboy.
He said, okay, this is some kind of murder.
I won't be back.
I said, oh, okay, goodbye. I cut your hair.
I read the horse.
Okay, well, goodbye.
I
think it's so funny. I love that time period, and I love men wearing those like ugly tinted glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I love, and I'm also not a very confident person. So when people lie like that, I think it's just so funny and freeing to like hear about.
Mm-hmm. It's so foreign to me that someone has the balls to, like, I'm not a confident person either, to just like get away with it or just like have these crazy, crazy lies. It's so, so insane to me.
Yeah. A friend of mine just like walked into a hotel and sat at their pool and just started like ordering shit. And it was like an exclusive private hotel. And he's like, yeah, they just, they don't care. And I was like, no, you're a tall, blonde, white man. You can do whatever the hell you want. No one questioned him. And he was like, isn't it great? And I was like, I don't think we can be friends anymore.
Also, hot privilege is a thing.
Yeah.
Yes. What I want to know, though, is if you were a scammer like this, what would your scam name be?
My scam? Well, that's good.
And what would you want to scam if you could
what
scam?
What would your scam be and your scam name?
My scam name would be...
Pause for
Baronet.
Water. Baronet.
Mistress von Fuck.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But pronounced Fook.
No, pronounced Fuck.
Okay.
It's spelled Drezen.
right,
but
it
will
fuck.
Be pronounced Fuck.
Yeah.
And my scam would be stealing large amounts of low quality hotel soaps.
Yeah.
Mm.
And reselling it. You know what it would be? It would just, my name would be Anna, whatever my husband's last name is, and selling a lot of multi-level marketing stuff.
Oh.
I also, no, you know what it is? That I wouldn't be me doing a scam. It would be me as a like 90-day fiance woman. I am like right on the brink of being that.
Oh
yeah.
And I'm upset with scammers for not finding me quicker.
Yeah.
Because
all you have to do is
I'm
move to the Philippines.
So ripe for it.
Yeah.
No, I don't have to go fucking anywhere.
You
they
mean
come to me.
Yeah, boy scammers trying to fall in
love
with you.
Find one.
Cute foreign boys.
I know. Where is your
I'm
Nigerian
so
man?
Busy and sad.
Yeah.
Right?
I have no options.
Yeah.
Come at me.
No, but like email her.
Email her.
Anna.
If you're a foreign man looking for a visa,
email
Anna Drezen.
Trick me.
Yeah,
she wants
fun.
To be tricked.
She's warm and loving.
She's just here waiting for you to trick
she's
her.
She's going to have a designer couch soon.
Yeah,
a new couch that I will be on.
Ugh, waiting for you to fuck her.
Please. You don't even have to. You could just promise to and then not.
And then not do it because it's too
busy
much work
and sleepy
anyway.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I won't break up with you. I'll just resent you.
Yes, true.
Mm-hmm. I did almost get scammed into a wire fraud.
Oh, that's right.
One time.
Yeah.
How? Where I found a job on Craigslist, I think, or somewhere. And it was that you open, it was someone who was like, I'm out of the country on business, but I run an electronics company and I need for you to pick up my packages and open them and make sure that the electronics are in there and then close them up and mail them to me. And then I will, it was like, I'll pay you a certain amount of money and then you pay back something. It was something basically where they were like, we're gonna pay
you the money first and then I'll pay you back.
No, it was like, oh, we'll send you this payment and then you'll, I don't know what it was, but it was Western Union.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, basically it wouldn't clear the payment but like,
oh, that's exactly what we talked about. But then with once the you pay
from your account, mm-hmm.
we had a guest on here who did the same thing, that they would send you the payment wouldn't clear, but you had to then give them some of the money. It was very screwed up. Yeah.
You would like subtract your own pay or something. I don't know what it was, but it was, and then I really almost took it until I realized I like Googled it and was like, oh, this doesn't sound right. And then that man's Gmail showed up on my GChat for the next like 5 years.
No.
It was like a fake name, but it would be like Sean Crow or whatever.
Yeah.
It's very funny. You know?
He's there. He's chatting up all the other people.
I think only scammers use wire transfers. Only scammers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now on Craigslist, it says beware wire fraud at the top of all of them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
They have that now with apartments, too. It's like you see a great apartment and it's like, this could be a scam. And it's like, okay, I guess it is. Like,
oh, my God. That's such a good scam.
I know.
Where people like go to even if they don't see it. And the person's like,
they put up like a great apartment and then you contact the realtor and they're like, oh, that one was just sold, but we have other ones. And then it's like totally more expensive. And there's a new realtor fee. Like everything is totally jacked up and changed.
People will like have you sign a lease and start paying them money.
Really?
Or like pay the first, last, and security to them, and then they go to open the door and their keys don't work. And it was that some fucking crazy person was just like, yeah, I'm leasing that apartment.
In New York?
And that someone is living there. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
What is wrong with people?
They want money and they don't want to work.
Wait, what was the teeth whitening scam you said?
Oh, teeth whitening.
Oh my God. I signed up for a free trial. It was so long ago that I can't really remember, but it was like you would get it for free for like a trial and then you could cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they sent me like 4 packages in rapid succession within a few weeks, so and they charged me like $200 for each one.
Yeah, you were charged for each package. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I tried to return it and just spent all this time like yelling at them and like trying to get my money back, and they're being really mean over the phone. I was a true teenager, so I don't really quite remember what it was.
Did you have white teeth?
No, it barely worked and it hurt very badly.
Yeah, they do hurt.
They do hurt, but it like didn't work. I had those pens for like 7 years after.
It was pens?
It was a pen with a gel and then some sort of trays that you could put goop in. Mm-hmm. But then there was a class action lawsuit and I think I got like $80 out of it.
Yeah.
I got charged like $400.
Hey.
Damn it.
You recouped some of that money.
But the scam was that they sent it to you without your permission and that it came really fast. Before you could cancel.
You couldn't cancel.
Mm-hmm.
Or like they lost my record of me canceling.
Sure.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the name of it was, but I'm sure you'll hear from people who have had this exact scam.
Well, Anna Von Falk, thank you so much for coming.
Honestly, thank you for calling me by my proper name.
Yeah, no, it's just been waiting to come out.
Thank you. This was amazing. I can't wait to listen to this whole show.
We can't wait either.
I know. I'm so excited.
Hi guys, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have your own scams, you can email them to us at scamwowpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call us and tell us all about it. Give us some hot, hot tips. 347-509-9414. One more thing, we started a Patreon. It is patreon.com/scamwowpodcast. You know, we need you more than we need your money, but Katie has a baby and I have a job that's not that great. So every little bit helps, to be perfectly honest. Thanks again from me and Katie, Sue on the West Coast, Katie reporting from the East Coast. We will see you next week. Bye.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.